This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Hello, Taylor Nation, and welcome to another episode of Taylor Talk, the Taylor Swift podcast. This is episode 94, and my name is Adam.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
Hey, we got Diane for a midweek episode. Yay!
Yeah. So do you remember on Monday when we talked about how I wouldn't be here this week because I had class?
We're recording after class.
How about that?
Yep. Adam lied again.
It happens from time to time. So, guys, before we get started, I do want to thank everybody out there once again for nominating us for the podcast awards. We did get two nominations in the entertainment and People's Choice categories. Now, voting starts on November 1st and will be open for 15 days. You can vote every single day. So I would ask you if you could kindly please take a moment of time to vote for us each day, because we'd really appreciate it. And let's try and take home some of those awards like the real Taylor Swift does. That'll be fun, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Steve's like, whatever.
What do you mean, whatever? I said exactly.
Okay, Steve. So you guys can do that starting on November 1st at podcastawards.com. And you can even vote for us as a birthday gift, because November 1st also doubles up as Taylor Talk's second birthday. It'd be nice of you. And again, anybody that votes for us, just like the nomination process, if you send us verification that you voted, a screenshot, something showing that you voted, we will give you a shout out on a future episode of Taylor Talk. All right? There's your incentive. So go vote. Thank you. Now, as per our standard protocol on these midweek episodes, we pulled a couple questions off our Ask FM account, questions asked by you of us, things you're curious about. First question we got, Steve, Diane.
Yes.
Just making sure you're paying attention.
I'm here.
Do you think that Taylor will perform Sweeter Than Fiction at her international shows?
Definitely, especially at her shows in London. Because
there's five of them.
Yeah, just ridiculous. But anyway, yeah, I'm sure she will perform that song in London because Paul Potts is from Britain. So, I mean, it would just make sense.
What if Paul Potts came to one of her concerts?
That would surprise me. Yeah, that'd be really cool.
What if they did a duet together? What if he was the special guest? Do you think Taylor could pull off opera?
No. I don't know how to say that in the nicest way possible, but still say no.
You just did.
Yeah.
You said it in a very, like, cute and adorable way. It worked.
Well, thank you. That's what I was going for.
Oh, good. But, you know, something I'm wondering about this question, are you asking if she's adding it to the set list or if she'll just play it? Because I would say it's highly probable she'll make it a B-stage song. I don't think she's adding it to the set list.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. When she performed the Speak Now show in Australia, I believe she played Safe and Sound, right?
Did she?
Yes, but she performed it at the end of the show when she was on the couch.
Well, I remember that she did play it because we were all jealous in the U.S. Safe and Sound hadn't come out in the U.S. yet. The tour ended here in, what, November, and then it picked up again in Australia, right? After it had
I
come
believe
out.
The song was already out, right? But we had never heard it live from her before.
Right. She did it for the Australian crowd first.
Yeah, and that was more of in, you know, like a slowed down kind of feel. Like, it wasn't like she had a big set for it. She just performed the song. So I think we might be able to see that in London. With Sweeter Than Fiction.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think she'll play it at some point, if that's what this question's asking. So I hope that answered your question. And the next question we pulled off for this episode is, imagine that Taylor is going to hear one episode of Taylor Talk. Which one would you recommend to her?
Ooh.
Wait a sec. Is this person insinuating that Taylor does not listen to Taylor Talk?
That's what it sounds like.
Adam, how let's be real they? Here.
Diane, Taylor listens to Taylor. She's heard every single episode, okay?
Oh, yeah?
She's listened every week for 2 years, and in recent months, twice a week.
That's amazing. I better be careful what I say now.
So, what do you guys think? Do you have a recommendation for Taylor?
I actually have an episode that I know she should not listen to. Do you guys remember that time we talked about the Red Tour music video and we were not super positive about it? Except Maya, she was the only one that liked it. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we ripped on it because it wasn't as good as the Fearless or Speak Now tour videos.
Yeah, she probably shouldn't listen to that episode.
Or maybe she should. Be awkward. Maybe she should and take it as what do they call that? Constructive criticism. That way,
I don't think we ripped it down that
tour
bad,
number
though,
four for album number five. She does a good tour video.
Steve, I don't remember if we ripped it super bad, but I do know we weren't super positive, and I don't want to hurt her feelings or anything. So for that, I don't want her to listen to that one.
That makes sense.
So what favorite video or not or video? What favorite podcast would you recommend to her then? Because personally, I would suggest she listen to our All Guys episode. It's episode 54, mainly because that is the debut of the very famous Steve Ditch. That was the day.
Really?
That was the very first time Steve ever joined the panel.
Oh, look
originally,
how far he's come.
Originally as a guest, and then, of course, a guest that would never leave, and here he is today.
Actually, I've tried to leave. It just hasn't worked out.
Well, yeah, Adam, I was also the guest that never left, too.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm stuck
with
both of
you. That's what happens around here.
It is. But I think that'd be an extremely beneficial episode to Taylor because where the Red Tour video discussion may be constructive criticism, this just has constructive information, not even criticism, because we talked all about being a Taylor Swift fan from a male perspective. And we had an All Guys panel. We had me, Steve. We had our buddy Augustine from theswiftagency.com. And then we also had Eric, who has been, he was on last week, right?
Yeah, before. He was.
He was on That's recently, but Eric is always a hoot to listen to because he talks a lot and says a lot of interesting things. It's Eric.
That's for sure.
But it was definitely, I would think, would be interesting to Taylor to hear from a panel of all male fans of hers about what it's like being a guy in a predominantly female fan base and, you know, what we're looking for in male merch because she doesn't really have any. You know, what it's like going to a concert and being surrounded by a crowd of teenage girls when we're all guys. You know, things like that. I think it would be really interesting for Taylor to listen to that.
Well, we'll have to email it to her.
Diane.
If we could do that, I would do that. What?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Except we don't have her email, so that would be a little difficult.
Dear Taylor Swift, hey, we could always send it to taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. That email gets a lot of Dear Taylor emails.
Yeah, but then that would just go to you, and that would be pointless.
Yeah, I know. It was a joke.
I know.
But that episode, actually, surprisingly enough, is, or actually not even surprisingly, is actually the most popular episode of Taylor Talk to date in terms of downloads and just overall popularity and feedback and things like that. It was a huge, huge success. So, you know, I'd venture to say it's because our audience is mostly female. You know, it's something like a 90% female listenership of this show and 10% guys. So it was probably really interesting to them. And likewise, I think it might be actually really interesting to Taylor as a female.
Yeah, for sure.
Steve, did you have another one? Another episode you would suggest?
That's really my favorite one. I mean, we had a lot of fun on that episode, too. I mean, there was a lot of good jokes going on, and it just kept going on and on. We actually had to, like, finally go, okay, this is over. Because that's, like, how long of an episode is that?
It's, like, an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, those are our longest episode ever.
However, people listened to it, and they loved it. So I think just for reference, in this the show notes for this episode, taylortalk.org/episode94, let's link to that episode. So that way anyone who hasn't listened to it can hear the very first appearance of Steve. Sounds like I'm talking about a comic book. The first appearance of the Wolverine.
The origin of me.
Yeah, the origin of Steve. But yeah, it was definitely a good episode, guys. So if you're interested in that, go check it out at taylortalk.org. Well, go to taylortalk.org/episode94 for this episode, and we'll link to it, because that episode hasn't been set up on its own URL quite yet. So you'll be able to find it through this episode show notes, though. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Thank you, Diane. I'm glad someone responded.
Well, we're your co-hosts. We have to, right, Steve?
We don't have a choice.
Yeah, but Steve sometimes sits there quietly and awkwardly, and I'll just have to just start talking again because I'm expecting a response, and it just never comes. So, that's Steve for you. Why did I invite him back again after that All Guys episode?
I have no idea. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, especially when he talks like this.
What?
Okay, can we move on and not, like, make fun of the co-host?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not making fun of you, Diane.
I know you're not. I'm just saying, like, we need to be nice here, and we need to be a loving and supportive environment.
Okay. Let's move on. So, yeah. Remember, Steve, actually, you brought this up. The, what did you call it? The Alphabet Soup of Country Music Awards?
Yeah, we were talking about all the different award shows out there. We had the CMAs, the Country Music Awards. We had the ACMs, the CMTs. Then there's what, GAC is Great American Country. I mean, there's just all sorts of craziness out there.
All the different acronyms that are very similar letters.
Yes.
There's a million, yeah.
Yeah, so we just added another one to the mix, of course, the American Country Awards, the ACAs, which of course existed before. We just didn't think of it at the time because Taylor has never won an ACA before, which we'll get to in just a moment. But before we get to that, let's just go over quick the news, which is that Taylor received 8 nominations for this year's ACAs. She's nominated for Artist of the Year Female, Single of the Year Female for Begin Again, Single of the Year Vocal Collaboration for Highway Don't Care with Tim McGraw, featuring Taylor Swift and Keith Urban, Touring Artist of the Year, Great American Country, Music Video of the Year for Begin Again, Music Video of the Year, Female Begin Again, Music Video of the Year, Group or Collaboration again for Highway Don't Care by Tim McGraw, featuring Taylor Swift and Keith Urban. Oh, that was a mouthful.
Wow. You got in there
did
in one
you
breath.
Know, yeah, that was impressive.
Thank you.
Did you know that since Taylor has eight nominations, that's more than anyone else has this year?
Yes.
That's pretty crazy.
Wow. Right. Now, the reason I wanted to make a discussion out of this is because Taylor, while having 8 nominations this year, has had 14 nominations before and has not won a single one of them. Like, let that sink in for a minute. A fan-voted award wow. show, and Taylor is 0-14.
I find that hard to believe.
It strikes you as odd, right?
Yeah, because Taylor always wins. She's Taylor Swift.
Right. Now, I did some digging, and I was in attendance at the ACAs in 2011, which was the second annual ACAs. Now, I just want to give that background for pure reference, because the ACAs have only been around since 2010. There have only ever been 3 American Country Awards.
Hmm.
So it's not really a very prestigious show, first off. And then second...
Wait, hold on. So it's not prestigious because it's new, right? That's what makes it...
Yeah, I mean, what's more prestigious to you? Like, the winning at the second annual ACAs, which she didn't do? Or winning the 46th annual ACMs or something like that?
You got to think about the history of all of it. You know, the artists that went before you and won in those categories and that kind of stuff. That's what makes it prestigious.
Right. So just... further digging, you know, I actually want to talk about my personal experience at the ACAs because I went to the second annual ACAs in 2011 expecting to see Taylor Swift there because she had 6 nominations that year. And I figured, okay, 6 nominations, fan voted. I'm like, of course she's going to win them, right? How naive I was back then.
the very early days
when Taylor Talk was a mere 2 months old. So Taylor didn't win anything. Now, my first suspicion was the fact that she wasn't there at all. Because, of course, I went to see her. That's why I went. She wasn't there. And I'm like, that's peculiar for an artist to be nominated for that many awards and not even be in attendance. right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I come to find out that she wins absolutely nothing for the night. And I was like, oh, maybe that's why she wasn't there. Strange, right? Now, I did some digging and some reading, of course, and we've talked about award shows and how the voting procedures work in a past episode that was entirely dedicated to award shows. And I forgot what episode number that was. I'm sorry. I'm sorry out there. If you go to the show notes, it'll be linked, though. We'll find it out for you when we're done recording. So I did reading on the terms and conditions this year, and like all the others, there is an out for them where it says something if they detect evidence of tampering with the voting system or automated voting or anything like that, that they can basically overrule it. They can cancel out the votes, whatever they do, right? So basically it's at their discretion. They have final say in who wins, right? So that's all suspicious. Now, here's something interesting. The most suspicious part of that night to me didn't even have to do with Taylor Swift. On one of, like, the new artist type awards, like a breakthrough artist, I forget which one it was. Mm-hmm. There were two of them. There was one for single and one for a music video. And Thompson Square won both of those over, of all artists, the band Perry.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, even okay. to this day, 2 years later, who's got the significantly larger fan base and who is so much more popular?
The band Perry.
The band Perry.
Precisely. Right? Now, I'm like, okay, band Perry got ripped. Taylor Swift got ripped. I looked at the final awards, and guess who else got ripped as a whole?
Who?
The entire Big Machine label group.
Really?
Yeah. So that night, don't quote me on this number because I don't remember it offhand. Because, mind you, I'm trying to remember this from a couple years ago. But Big Machine as a whole, as a collective, had 17 nominations. They won zero.
Did their people show up to that show or did they stay away like Taylor did?
Scott Borchetta, the CEO, was there.
Okay.
He was in attendance because I got a picture with him. I was pretty proud of that moment, to be honest.
Oh.
It's one of my prize pictures. It's actually my picture on TaylorTalk.org on the About Us page. So he was there, but how could he have known ahead of time, you know, that they wouldn't win anything? Maybe he did know. Maybe Taylor knew and that's why she didn't show. I don't know. But
yeah, that's interesting.
Fast forwarding to now, I look at the past 3 years, 2010, 2011, 2012, all three ACAs. Last year, we finally had a victory.
Woohoo!
Brantley,
really?
Brantley Gilbert won an ACA award last year, 2012.
And he's on the Big Machine label, right?
Well, specifically, he's on Valerie, which is a record label under the Big Machine label group. So, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So he is a Big Machine artist. And he finally won. So I just, you know, I look back and there are a total across three award shows, a total of 57 possible awards. And Big Machine gets one. What's that tell you?
That for some reason the ACAs do not like Big Machine.
Yeah. Like, I'd say so. I mean, Steve, you've been quiet on this. Feel free to chime in at any time if you've got something for us.
Okay.
Oh, geez. That was like a cue to start talking, Steve. You didn't pick up on it.
Well, maybe he didn't have anything.
I guess.
I'm kind of amazed, I'll tell you that much. That doesn't make a lot of sense, especially based on the other awards, for instance, the CMAs or the ACMs, where, you know, like 2011... You know, if Taylor wins Entertainer of the Year and then wins absolutely nothing with X number of nominations when she's at the ACAs, that doesn't even make sense.
Right. And now here's a thing, too. If you look at Big Machine's lineup of artists, they've got big names. It's not people that should be losing in fan-voted awards, right? You know, Taylor Swift aside, but Big Machine as a whole. I mean, Taylor Swift we know shouldn't be losing awards. But Big Machine... Oh.
What?
Oh!
You just dropped off mid-sentence. Something must have happened.
Oh.
Okay.
Have you guys looked at Big Machine's lineup of artists lately across all three record labels?
Not lately.
Let me ask you guys this, and I doubt Diane will know it. I'm doubting Diane's knowledge on this one, but Steve might pick up on it.
Okay.
Go for it.
Across Big Machine Records, Valerie, and Republic, all three that make a Big Machine label group, we have Danielle Bradbury, Ray Lynn, and Cassidy Pope. What do all three have in common?
They're on The Voice.
All three on The Voice. Danielle Bradbury and Cassidy Pope, I know, factually won The Voice. Does anyone know if Ray Lynn actually won?
No, she didn't win, but she made it pretty far into it.
Okay, so let's go through this here, right?
Why did you doubt I would know that?
Because your country music knowledge in general kind of stinks. Whoa. Outside of Taylor Swift.
Whoa. It's better than yours, okay?
Yeah.
No, it's not. I've learned from Steve. So, okay, hang on. So hear me out here, right? We got three voice contestants. Two of them won. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the grand prize on The Voice is a record deal, right?
I don't know. I've never watched that show.
I believe it is, yeah.
Okay, so who's providing that record deal if two of the winners are now on Big Machine's record labels?
I would say Big Machine.
Okay, right. Now, hang tight with me here.
The Voice is on what network? It's on NBC.
NBC, right?
Now, I bet you, I know where you're going with this.
The ACAs are on
Idol.
Fox.
You're going to American Idol on this, aren't you?
I actually wasn't, but I'm glad you made that connection. American Idol is a Fox show.
Right.
The ACAs are on Fox.
And
if The Voice has any sort of affiliation with Big Machine, of course the ACAs are not going to like them.
Well, here's my question. How many awards has Carrie Underwood won?
Oh my gosh, Steve. Carrie Underwood has won
Adam's
a ton.
A revelation over here.
You guys keep talking for a minute. The first year, Carrie Underwood won one, two, three, four, five, six awards her first year. The exact same number Taylor was nominated for the next year. Second year, Carrie won one. Wait for it. Carrie Underwood aside, we have a Scotty McCreery in here.
Oh, yeah. He was on American Idol.
There's two for Carrie, three for Carrie. So we're up to six the first year, three the second year, one for Scotty. Then fourth year, Carrie's got one. Oh, here's a Lauren Elena victory.
Mm.
Oh, there's our Brantley Gilbert. Yay, a victory.
Yay. Breaking the curse.
So Carrie only has one the third year, it looks like. But there's a Lauren Elena victory also. So holy cow. Did we just have like a revelation or what?
Looking that way. So what is the final count if you count all the American Idol wins for the ACAs since
well out of Carrie Underwood, Scotty McCreery, Carrie Underwood's got 10, Scotty McCreery has one or two, roughly something like that, and Lauren Elena has one, so we're up in that like 12 to 15 range.
And you said what there was a total of 50 what
50, what did I say something. I need to go back at 57 total.
Okay, so that's a good portion of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So what did I say? Like, we'll say like 14 out of 57.
So you're 57. About a little over 20% there.
25%.
Yeah.
It's 25% roughly have gone. So one out of every four awards has gone to an American Idol winner, where we have a label that supports voice winners on NBC, and they've won one out of 57. Huh.
Interesting. So what's the takeaway from this? Like, what does this mean in terms of Taylor and us voting for her? Because these awards are fan voted.
Right.
So the question is it worth voting or not?
Yes.
Why?
Because here's what I'm getting at. With all of this sort of evidence and whatever we just came up with, I don't even know what you want to call that. I've drawn the personal conclusion. I think the ACAs are biased in favor of artists that have some sort of interest in Fox, like the American Idol winners. And they are anti-Big Machine because, and I cannot confirm this. This is not confirmed yet. Well, I just can't confirm it because I haven't done the research on it, but there appears to be some sort of affiliation between The Voice and Big Machine, mm-hmm. which is on a rival network from Fox. So on the surface, this whole situation looks fixed, right?
Right.
So your question, Diane, bring it back around, is why vote for Taylor? And I'll tell you why. Because we don't know that this is fixed. We think it is fixed. Right now, Taylor is leading the nominations out of everybody, right? With 8 of them. I think that rather than discouraging people from voting, saying it's fixed, I think we need to encourage everyone to vote and really give this our all. Because if we as a fan base put our best foot forward and really put everything we have into making sure we vote for Taylor, is it a daily voting? Yeah, every single day, and get her as many votes as possible. If she comes out 0 for 8, then I'd say more or less we know it's fixed.
That's true. And plus, if we don't vote for her, we know she's not going to win. You know right. what I mean? So we have to vote for her to even get the chance.
Right. So I'd say continue to vote for Taylor. Please vote for Taylor every day. Fans can vote for her once a day, every day, until November 12th. However, voting for Artist of the Year doesn't end until December 7th. You can vote at theacas.com. So that's theacas.com. So vote for Taylor every day, and I guarantee we'll prove it one way or the other. Either it's fixed or Taylor gets her first ACA.
I'm hoping for the latter there.
What did you say? Sorry?
I'm hoping for the latter, that she gets her first ACA.
Right, which speaking of
which... Add that to the collection.
Speaking of which, it's funny that we brought that up, because you guys remember in that interview, I want to say it was the Bobby Bones one, we talked about two interviews that day.
Yeah, quote are you referencing?
I'm referring to the fact that, like, whoever the host, I'm pretty sure it was on Bobby Bones, but she was asked, which award would you like to win that you have never won before, because you've won them all. She hasn't won them all. She's never won an ACA.
Hmm.
But she didn't bring that up on the show. That's the one she wanted to win.
Right.
She probably forgot about it.
I don't know if she forgot about it, or maybe she just knows. Maybe she knows she's just not going to get an ACA.
Or maybe she just doesn't like the award. That's my least favorite thing. Do you ever see what that thing looks like? It's like
no.
It's just like a big guitar. Yeah.
A guitar?
Yeah.
It's so cumbersome. Like, it's like, I think the Teen Choice Awards have like a giant surfboard, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of neat, but the guitar, I don't know. I feel like it's cumbersome.
Well, I believe with the Teen Choice Awards, not to get too far off topic, but what I've heard is that if they win multiple surfboards, they end up only getting one with all their awards printed or engraved or whatever they do on that one surfboard.
Well, I know at the ACAs you get an actual guitar for every single award you win. So
oh
if Taylor
gosh.
Wins all 8, she's going to go home with 8 blue guitars.
Taylor's like, I've got enough guitars.
She's like, maybe I don't want to win.
Well, I don't know about that, but definitely vote for her every day, theacas.com, and then tune in to watch it live on Tuesday, December 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox. Or maybe we shouldn't give Fox those ratings and just hear if Taylor got it later.
Adam.
Yeah.
I know. What does the Fox say? I cheat. Sorry, I had to do that. I had to do it. That thing, that video is so popular right now, as irritating as it is.
I've never seen the video. I've saved myself from that.
Oh, yeah, continue to spare yourself. It's right up there with Gangnam Style.
I never watched that one either.
I never watched it either. And to be honest, I haven't seen the whole of What Does the Fox Say. I've only seen enough of it to know I don't want to watch it.
No.
So, I mean, I think that more or less wraps up our discussion for episode 94. I do want to reiterate, guys, that we do need your support to try and win a podcast award. If you could visit podcastawards.com starting November 1st and vote for us every day in the People's Choice and Entertainment categories, we'd love you and appreciate it. It would be a very huge honor if you guys could help us out with that. Big deal. So thank you to anyone who is going to participate. Thank you in advance. And of course, we have our live episode coming up. That's going to be on Saturday, November 2nd, the day after our second birthday. Saturday, November 2nd at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. in London, and then the following morning on November 3rd at 9 a.m. in Sydney, Australia. So kind of use those times to gauge whatever your local time zone is going to be. And be sure to tune in at youtube.com/TaylorTalk13. Now, something special is happening that episode. We're announcing our big contest winner. If you haven't entered that contest yet, hurry up. It's going to end on November 1st. To enter, go to TaylorTalk.org/contest. Now, one more thing. Something very special that only people listening right now are getting. You want to know what?
I do, because I don't know what it is.
On our first birthday, second birthday, November 1st, there is going to be a flash sale on TaylorTalk.org. For those of you who have wanted a Taylor Talk t-shirt but have not yet gone for it, they are going to be selling for only $7 on our birthday.
Whoa.
Down from their normal $13 price. And included in that $7 is not just the t-shirt itself, but there will still be a mystery gift. You'll find out what that is when you order.
Oh.
A lanyard from CMA Fest, one of the same lanyards that attendees got. Lanyard being one of those necklaces you clip your badge on. And there will be a handwritten thank you note from yours truly.
Wow.
And everybody wants that.
That's the best part of the package.
Got to frame that up in a nice little portrait on the wall.
Okay, let me tell you guys something. Out of the people that have ordered t-shirts so far, out of any feedback I've gotten from people, they have written back about how special they thought it was that there was a handwritten thank you note in there. They never mention the mystery gift. They never mention the lanyard, although those are pretty cool. I take that back. They do mention them, but not exclusively. It's not like, oh my gosh, the lanyard made this the coolest surprise ever. It is always the thank you note that people are most grateful for.
I think that's because they don't expect it, because this is the first time you've ever said that you will do that publicly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cat's out of the bag.
Oh, man, the secret is out. But the mystery gift is still a secret. So I think people should go November 1st. It's going to be 24 hours. It's going to start at midnight Eastern time. So like kind of like Thursday night, 12 a.m. Friday morning. And it will run through midnight Saturday morning, I guess that would technically be. So it's going to go for 24 hours based on Eastern time. And that will be the only day. After that, the prices go back up to their standard $13 a t-shirt, which I don't know why people, I know why $7 is more appealing, but $13 is still pretty appealing. So if you miss the flash sale, still buy one. Yeah?
Yeah.
Sounds good. I'm sure you're going to tweet that out, too.
I am. The flash sale will be tweeted. The reason I am saying this now on the show, though, is because people listening are going to get... Well, they're getting this before the actual date. People that wait for it to be tweeted won't get it until the day of.
So you have time to plan, time to ask your parents to borrow their credit cards.
Exactly. I mean, $7 is pretty darn cheap for a new t-shirt. They're pretty cool t-shirts, too. You can check them out on TaylorTalk.org. They're really neat. They've got, like, hand hearts. Say Taylor Talk. They're cool. Oh, and they are unisex fitting, so plan accordingly when you choose your size. All right, so I think I've rambled long enough about the t-shirts. That will be $7 on November 1st. One last plug. So for episode 94 of Taylor Talk, this has been Adam,
Dan,
and Steve.
Said, have a great day, guys. We will see you all on Saturday for the live episode. Take care now.
And you'll actually see us.
Uh-oh. You're going to see Diane's face.
And Adam and Steve and Maya in a video.
Sorry, who's Maya?
The other female on this show.
I know, I'm kidding. Maya's going to be back. Exciting stuff. Be sure to tune in for that live episode on Saturday, all right? See you guys then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.